Good morning, brothers and sisters. Thank you for being here. Again, I'm Jason Davis. I'm the discipleship pastor here at Charleston Baptist. Thank you for being here. There's probably a million other places you could be, but it is an amazing time to be with God's body, the family, the body of Christ. We are in Ephesians. Pastor Kevin is carrying us through the book of Ephesians. It's been an amazing journey. I hope as we journey through the book of Ephesians, you are continuing to read it in your own on your own time at home. And learning through this journey, we see a healthy church. Pastor Kevin last week was talking about a healthy church, and this week we're talking about a healthy church. What does that look like? And when we see a healthy church, we see maturity. That there's maturity in the church, both individually and as a corporate body. There's maturing that happens in a healthy church. Last week, Pastor Kevin said Christ gives diverse gifts to each person in his family. That Christ gives diverse gifts. And that he also gives responsibilities, diverse responsibilities. We saw that from Ephesians 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. And here, Pastor Kevin, something that really has stuck with me all week as I've studied, and it just resonated with me, is that the church is not called rock star pastors. Now, we have some, there's some amazing men that I love to listen to. I love to listen to their sermons, and they do a fantastic job. But as a body, as a local body, we have not been called to have just rock star pastors. Though we do have a rock star pastor. Amen. Can I get an amen? Thank you. Yes. An amazing man. But it's not about him. It's not about me. It's not about the man that will fill the pulpit in the future. It's about the body of Christ and that we are to grow together. What Pastor Kevin said last week in verse 12 is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. It didn't say that the evangelists and the shepherd and the teachers, the pastors, were to do all the work of the ministry, that every burden was to fall on them. But it is us as a body that we get to be a part of the ministry of Christ. That we get to be a part of the reaching the gospel further in the kingdom of God. That is not just built on one person, one personality. How tragic that would be. How a mess of a body we would be if it was just built on me, if it was just built on Kevin. Again, he's a rock star, he's an awesome man, but this church would suffer greatly if we didn't come alongside, if we didn't fulfill the calling that God has given us. But as we continue, we see that the gifts and the responsibilities that God has given us leads to maturity. Not only does it lead to maturity as a church, but it leads to maturity as individuals. As we mature individually, our body as a whole will mature, and we'll see that in this morning's scripture. Let's read Ephesians chapter 4, starting verse 13. If you do not have a Bible with you, there's a Bible underneath the seat in front of you. We'd love for you to take that Bible with you if you don't have one. But we are going to be on page 1081. It's Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 13. So we just heard how Paul was talking about building up the body of Christ. And then he continues in verse 13. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. Verse 16. From whom the whole body, joined together and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Our first point this morning, first thing that I want you to see about maturity, is a mark of maturity is knowing the work is not over. Knowing the work is not done. It is not over. You are not done. No matter what stage of life you're in, the work that God has called you to, that He has called me to, it is not over until we see Him face to face. Then our work will be done. Then we can be at peace and at rest. But until then, you and I are not finished. No matter if we are retired and we're the oldest saint in the building, or no matter if we're the youngest saint in the building, that we have a job to do and it is not over. It says, until we all attain the unity of faith. You hear this? Until we all, and there's this great goal of maturity that we all should set our gaze upon. This unity of faith. Again, Paul is talking about unity. I love the book of Ephesians, especially during this time in our world where we need to seek unity. We need to be seeking unity within the body of Christ. Man, I'd love for us to be unified with people outside, but we need unity in the body. More than anything else, we need to show a unified front to the world that we are joined together. And it's not because we have the same affinities, that we have the same culture, or that we have the same background. But it's the unity of the faith. This faith, this idea of faith is not like a faith in salvation, but a faith that is deeper than that. It is a knowledge of Christ. It is a doctrine. It is a sound doctrine. That we are unified in truth. That what holds you and I together is not common experience. It's not common preferences. But it is the unity of the faith. It is the word. It is our foundation of belief. What holds us together. I've said it last time I preached. I'll say it again. I'll probably say it the next time I preach. But my brothers, like Joseph and Raul, who have grown up in other countries, completely different cultures, completely different worlds. And I was talking to some other brothers and sisters that grew up in the north and that they have completely different culture than I grew up in. But what binds all of us together is the unity of faith, is Jesus himself. That's what binds us, that we are born into one body, not multiple bodies. That have their each preferences. Man, this is maturity. It's when we can be unified because of beliefs and our foundation, not because of what we like. Then he continues on, and of the knowledge of the Son. And of the knowledge of the Son, this knowledge carries this idea of deep knowledge, full, correct, and accurate. And so this is where we all have room to grow. That a deeper, fuller knowledge of the Son of God, of Christ. I love the beauty of Scripture. It's because it's unending. That there's never an end goal. There's always more. And that there's always more to grasp on to who Jesus is. And that none of us has ever reached. Again, this idea that the oldest saint still has more to learn. And the youngest saint still has more to learn. And that no matter where we're at in our stage of life, that we still have more to learn about Christ. And this should humble you. This should humble me. That we are not better than anyone else, but we still are. Our goal is maturity in Christ. That we're seeking this deeper knowledge. When studying this, I think about marriage in this idea of a deeper knowledge, of how we are to grow deeper in our knowledge of who Jesus is, of the Son of God. And in marriage, I want to know more about my wife. We've been together since I was a senior in high school. This is many years. It's been a long time since I was a senior in high school. And so we've been learning each other all along the way. I've been learning her likes and her dislikes. But guess what? I haven't reached the end. Because I don't know about you, in any relationship that you've been in a part of for a long time, that things change over the course of time. The woman I met as a... So I was a senior, she was a sophomore. So the woman I met as a sophomore is very different than the woman I know today. Her likes and dislikes, her joys, her sorrows, her pains, her comforts, all those things, her whole life is very vastly different. Now imagine if we got together when we were I was a senior in high school, and I said, all right, now I know you. I know your name. I kind of know a little bit about you. Now I'm done. I step away. And then for many, many years later, would I know the same woman? Absolutely not. The difference is Jesus doesn't change. He just has more to show us. We change. And so there's constantly learning through different seasons of life, of getting to know. This knowledge of one another is growing deeper. And all relationships are like that, not just marriage. So we continue to learn one another. Now I have to confess that I still have a lot more to learn about my wife, but she may be done. Because, I mean, I'm a pretty simple man, but there's still a lot for me to grab hold of. But it's not just there. Not only do we grow in our knowledge, that knowledge, but to mature manhood. He continues on and says, to mature manhood or adulthood or womanhood, that we are seeking. And again, the goal, I hope you see this morning, the goal is maturity, that we're to grow into maturity, into manhood or womanhood. And this is in our culture in this time, and what I have seen and experienced is that this idea of growing into manhood, growing into womanhood, is controversial and sometimes difficult for many. If you're older, it's just accepted. It's just, yeah, of course, I grow up, I leave high school, and I go to college, or I get a job, or, you know, I get married, I have kids. This idea of growing up, in some ways, is just very second nature. But I'll be honest, as a student pastor, some of the trends that I saw just from being a student pastor is that wasn't always the case with many of my students or some of the students that I've interacted with in the past, is that their idea of manhood was not all that glorious and great. Their idea of womanhood was not all that glorious and great, and they were very content to remaining children. They were very content to remaining as mentally a child. And here we see Paul is encouraging the Ephesian church that, no, we are to seek this greater idea. And we'll explore that a little bit deeper in a little bit. But then in closing out verse 13, it says, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That this is where our goal is, to be like Christ. To be like him. And guess what? On this side of eternity, you're not going to ever be like him. We all have room to grow. We all have places to grow in humility that we need to set before him. We are to become like him. This idea of sanctification. Sanctification. We are justified in Christ, and that's a one-time deal. That is justified in him. That is made right before God. But this idea of sanctification is growing in Christ. It's becoming more Christ-like. All of us are in this boat together. We're in this journey together, and we're a part of the body. And you need me, and I need you. And we need one another to grow in this sanctification. This is where the body is so important. The local body, the church, meeting on Sunday morning is so important to us as maturing Christians. We need one another. We can see those rock star pastors online. We can spend all morning watching Pastor A and B. There's many different pastors that I enjoy listening to, but nothing replaces my pastor. Nothing replaces being here with my brothers and sisters in Christ, where I have to learn and I have to be challenged and I have to grow. We have to be connected. This is important now more than ever. As our culture changes, we need one another. I need you in my life to be more like Christ. I need you in my life. And guess what? You need me in your life to be more like Christ. Again, we are in this process of sanctification, of becoming more like Jesus. This is so amazing that by God's grace, through the work of the Holy Spirit in us, we get to be more like him. That we get to image him. That we can say, it's not about me. We can put it off ourselves. We can say, it's not about me. It's not about how good I am. It's not about what I do. Man, this brings me so much comfort because I'm to learn more about Jesus and I have to image him more in the world as I build relationships with others. I want them to know Jesus. I want them to know how Jesus has impacted me, how he has radically changed me, that he has caused me to think differently about all who differ from me. Man, this changes everything. We are to grow and be mature. So a mark of maturity is knowing it's not over. The work is not done. But we move on to verse 14. In verse 14, it says this. So, verse 14, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. A mark of maturity is sound doctrine. A mark of maturity is sound doctrine. That we are to have correct beliefs. That we are to see the entirety of Scripture and we are to internalize that. We have to have orthodox, sound beliefs because this makes all the difference. Listen to what it says again. So that we may no longer be children. Again, for many years, I have worked with children, whether in high school, working at an after-school program, or working in student ministry, or working with adults here. No, I'm just kidding. I have worked with children. I was just making sure you're awake. I have worked with children a lot. And what Paul is saying here is that we are not to be like children. Now, there's one concept, we are to be like children in the sense of faith. And in the sense of trusting in God, that we should trust God like a child trusts or should trust a parent. But in here we're saying that we should not be like children in the sense of how children are easily deceived. And how they're easily convinced of wrong things. And how we as a society, a culture, and as parents, we have to protect children from those that want to prey on them. I think about in our current culture and in the current day and age where internet is so, it can be so vicious and so horrific and hideous that there are things that children can view on the internet that they can be preyed upon by those that are on the internet and be led into very harmful, difficult circumstances. And the people that are preying on them, they're preying on children. They're preying on children so that they can abuse or deceive. And there needs to be protection. That there needs to be protection for them. That they may not see it or understand it. You see, and this is what Paul is saying, that you are to grow out of childhood. We are to seek adulthood where we see the schemes. We can protect one another. That we won't be tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. See, we are to have sound doctrine. If we do not have sound doctrine, we are in danger. We are in danger of being led astray, led away from Christ. I think about a situation that I meet on a weekly basis with two gentlemen, Josh Driscoll and Aaron Mitchell. We meet to become better pastors, better preachers, better proclaimers of the word. And we were meeting at a place, eating some tacos. It was amazing tacos. And we were reading a book. And we were challenging one another how to handle God's word. And then a conversation happened beside us. This lady asked us, hey guys, what are y'all doing? I was like, sweet, man, opportunity, right? And so we started talking to her. And she began to tell us what she believed. That she was a Seventh-day Adventist with Alta Start. We disagree with them on many aspects. But she was a Seventh-day Adventist for 30 years. And then within 5 minutes, she said somebody presented a different view. And she immediately left Seventh-day Adventist and went into this cult, pretty much. My heart was breaking for us because there was nothing that we said that she was clicking with her. If she was constantly talking about and denying the Trinity, denying the deity of Christ, I mean, just rejecting the truth of Scripture. Elsewhere, it wasn't a sound foundation. She didn't have sound theology. She didn't have sound doctrine to be able to stand against the onslaught of what was coming toward her. And she succumbed to it. She was tossed to and fro by this wind of doctrine. And guess what? There have been many believers in the Baptist church have been drawn into Mormonism, have drawn into Jehovah's Witnesses because their sound doctrine. There was not sound doctrine in their foundation. It is so important many people will think of sound doctrine as, oh, that's for the pastors. That's for the really religious. That's really for the really serious Christians. No, it is for all of us, brothers and sisters. Sound doctrine protects us. This is vitally important for you and I. This is why, Pastor Kevin, this is why I, when we come to preach, we don't want you to hear what we have to think. We want you to hear what God has already spoken. It doesn't matter what I think. Let's be honest. It doesn't matter my opinions, though I have them. I want you to know what God has said. Because that is eternal. That is what matters. That is the foundation in which you will be built on, in which I have to stand on. As the onslaught of our culture comes toward us, where will you stand? Will you stand in faithfulness to the Scripture, or will you be tossed to and fro? Because the winds will change. Our culture has changed from a Christian-based culture to a humanistic-based culture, where it's all about man, it's all about me. Are you willing to stand? Are you willing to fight against the schemes, the deceitfulness that is before us? This idea of the body. Again, the body protects one another. Again, this is where we need one another. As we hear the things of the world and they tickle our ears, we can come back to the body and say, did you hear this? And the body can correct us. That we need correcting. We need to be put back on the straight and narrow. We need to be back into God's word foundation. Man, this is a beautiful time in which you and I live and where we get to see the gospel lived out. A mark of maturity is sound doctrine. And then we move on from verse 14 into 15 and 16. It says, verse 15, rather, speak the truth in love. We are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. I don't know if you've seen the thread, the big point, the main theme here is maturity. Again, Christ is calling us to maturity. A mark of maturity is living out the doctrine, living out the sound doctrine. It's not just having the sound doctrine. It's not just reading theology, not just reading scripture, but it's living it out. It is speaking. He says in verse 15, he said, rather speaking the truth in love, speaking the truth. That maturity requires you and I to speak. Think about as a children. I have a 10-month-old. Right now, he can only babble. He cannot speak. He cannot articulate what he wants except through crying and sometimes now pointing. Like, that's his level of communication. He cannot speak because he hasn't matured yet to the point of it. My 3-year-old, on the other hand, can speak very well. And she can speak the truth. Not a lot of times in love, but she can speak the truth. She's matured. She's learned. She's growing in that. She's maturing. And guess what? You and I are in very similar boats, that we start out as babes and trying to figure out how this speaking works and making mistakes along the way. We will continue to make mistakes along the way, but we are to mature and speak the truth. Are you willing to speak the truth? Are you willing to say the truths that we have learned from Scripture? For example, in Genesis 1:27, I'm not going to read the verse, but it's about humanity is made in the image of God, male and female. 1:27. Genesis 1:27. Not very far into Scripture. We don't even have to turn a page. You just go right to the very front of it. You read that one sentence. And think about how our world, our culture hates that one sentence. There is so much in that one sentence that the world hates, that God. All right, that's number one fact. The world hates that there is a God and that they are not God. That is the conflict of man, is that we want to be God as opposed to saying there is a God in heaven and that he is Lord over all. All right, but then it continues in that we are made in his image. That we're not just one amongst creation. We're not just one thing, one living creature amongst all other creatures. But scripture says that we are made in the image of God, and every human being has value and has worth and has dignity. Not because of what they have done, but because whose image they've been created in. And the world fights against that. Why is it okay for many to abort their child within the womb? It's because they don't have this image of God in their mind and lived out. See, because of theology, it makes everything different. Sound doctrine changes everything. And then lastly, in that one verse, it says that we are made male and female. If you keep up with our culture at all, you've noticed there's a big argument here. This idea of male and female. Growing up, I didn't think that was controversial. I never thought that it would be controversial to say there is only man and there's only woman, and based on scripture, that is truth. I never thought that God would even have to say that, right? But guess what? God in his infinite wisdom knew what truths that we were going to have to hold on to. What truths that you are going to have to stand firm on. Are you willing to take a stand? Are you willing to live out the sound doctrine that you may hear on, that you will hear on Sunday mornings or in life group? Are you willing to live it out? See, we are to speak the truth in love. I want to make sure that we understand that he says in love, because this is vitally important, because many of us will say, yeah, I'll speak the truth, but lose all love. And then it's just cold, harsh truth that's lacking compassion. That's not how God has treated us. That's not how Jesus treats us. He doesn't tell us the truth without love. He always tells the truth with love. He has always communicated. We look at the Gospels. When he was communicating the gospel, when he was communicating truth to people, he did it in love. He did it in love. And we are to do the same. And then he continues on. To grow up in every way. Speaking the truth, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. That, guess what? We can't hold anything back. In every way. He wants every part of you. That there's nothing we can hold back from him. That there's not just a corner closet that we say, that's my closet. I get to kind of do whatever I want to over there. Nobody else knows about it. It's hidden out of the way. But guess what? The Lord knows about it, and he wants you to give it up. He wants you to have no closets, nothing hidden. That everything is out front. That the light of the gospel is to shine on our life. Whenever I have struggled, whenever I've had darkness in my life, it's because things were hidden in the dark. And when there is darkness, things grow and get harsher and darker and deceitful and destroys. But when light is shined on those dark areas, that's where healing can go. That's where things can be restored. I want to encourage you that nothing is hidden from the Lord. And that's where we as a body, we are to confess to one another, that we are to bring light to those dark places, that all of it is to the glory of God in the body of Christ. Man, do we see how important this is, speaking the truth in love? Then we are to grow up in every way, not having anything hidden from him. And then verse 16. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. That's this idea of we are held together, we're held, bonded together, and it's not loosely given up. When each part is working properly, guess what? The health of this church, of this congregation, depends on all of us. It's not just the leadership. Leadership is important. Leadership is given by God's grace. But it's not just us. That if you are suffering, if you are not growing and becoming more mature in Christ, you are hurting the body of Christ. Do you hear that? How big that is. That's hard for me. If I'm not growing in Christ, I'm not just hurting me. I'm not just hurting my family. I'm hurting the body of Christ. And it's the same for you. It's the same for me. If I'm not maturing, if I'm not growing in Christ, then it doesn't just affect me. You're not isolated. That's one of the hardest things I think I've seen in American Christianity is we think we're saved individually. We're saved unto ourselves. That I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I am saved. I am good. I can go now and do what I want to. I can give up the church. It's no big deal. I got Jesus. I love Jesus, but I don't love his church. That is horrible. Because we need one another. Because when you suffer, we all suffer. When I suffer, we all suffer. When you're not growing, we are hurting as a body. That's how interconnected we are. And we lose sight of that so easily. And we're willing to give it up so easily. That we're willing to say on a Sunday, I'm tired and I want to sleep in. Hey, I can understand the tired part. I can understand wanting to sleep in. I can understand wanting to get out on the boat. I can understand wanting to have brunch with a family or a friend. I can understand all the different things that you would love to do on a Sunday morning as opposed to being with the body of Christ. But guess what? When you are missing from the body, we are missing part of the body. That's how important this is. This is how when each part is working properly, guess what happens? Makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. That when we are working properly, that there is a natural outworking of growth. Whether it's numerical growth or spiritual growth, there is growth that is happening within the church when we are working properly with one another. And this beautiful thing. What if we were characterized by growing in love? See, I think about when we talk about growth, when we talk about companies or organizations or movements growing, I think about control and power. Those are the key things that come to mind when I think about a company like, for example, like Amazon. Amazon is a huge corporation, has a lot of power, has a lot of influence, has a lot of control. But what God says, that growth is signified by love. That growth is not power, control. It's giving up all those things and seeking after love. Seeking after love of one another. In closing, I'm going to ask our worship team to come on up. I want to read this quote from Charles Spurgeon. It's not going to be on your screen, so listen up. Charles Spurgeon, he wrote in his morning and evening devotional, daily reading, he says this about verse 15. Should we be satisfied to believe in Christ and to say, I am safe, without wishing to know in our own experience more of the fullness which is to be found in him? It should not be so. We should, as good traders in heaven's market, covet to be enriched in the knowledge of Jesus. It is all very well to keep other men's vineyards, but we must not neglect our own spiritual ripening. That we are to grow. We individually are to seek maturity in the faith. And as we seek maturity in the faith, we will have a healthy church that is seeking maturity. Mark of maturity is knowing the work is not over. A mark of maturity is sound doctrine. A mark of maturity is living out doctrine in love. Living it out. Not just ahead, but it's an outworking of it as well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you. Thank you for your word. As I have studied and read, Father, I am so challenged. Lord, there is more to do. There is more to grow. And Father, I pray, Lord, in the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would help me to do that. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would help those that are here grow in maturity. Lord, that you would help us as a church grow in maturity. Lord, that we would grow in our love. That we become more like you than we were yesterday. Father, that we are willing to take a stand on sound doctrine. The the truth of your scripture. It's not about what I know. It's not about what my opinions are. Father, it's about honoring you, glorifying you, willing to stand firm on the truth of your word. Thank you for this letter to the Ephesians, that you can help us to grow in that, to know you better. In Jesus' name I pray.